Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Lou Somer. In fact, he's one of my favourite guests. And if I recall correctly, he's returning for the third time. If it sounds familiar to you, when he last came on, we discussed his book, Full Moon Messages from the Pleiadians. The Pleiadians are a group that Lou channels. He's very interested to be on the programme today, it being this special day of the 11th of November. And apart from anything else, he certainly wants to make comment about that. So before I introduce Lou, what I would like to do, because I'd like Lou's comment on this, is to tell him the very brief experience I had when I put myself in a meditative state to bring the energies down. And I'm able to relax quite quickly, and at the peak of the wave, which I believe was 11 minutes past 11, I felt like a throbbing in my third eye, and also my hands were tingling very much as I experience when I do healing. So welcome to the program, Lou. Let's start off by hearing what you've got to say about 11:11.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, for inviting me on the program again. Wonderful to hear about your personal experience. The minute you started talking about it, I kind of got a feeling that it reflected the fact that we're moving into the higher energy centers, you know, the chakras, and the heart chakra, the throat, the third eye between the eyebrows, and then the crown. And that's signifying the 11-11-11 date of moving into higher vibrational frequencies, so that the other interdimensional beings, et cetera, can start moving in and out of this third dimension much more quickly now, and showing themselves more readily. The 11-11 date to me, most of all, if we wanted to pick one thing, is I've been feeling like the Pleiadians, when I asked them about the 11-11 date, they were saying that the most important thing is lifting this kind of clause, this certain universal law that divided us from other advanced races. In other words, they cannot interfere with us because we have to work out our karma over a certain period of time. This has been the last 26,000 years. And therefore, even if there was a major catastrophes and this sort of thing, they really couldn't do anything about it, whether it was the invasion of certain countries from other leaders that, you know, really brutally murdered millions of people like Bosnia. You know, there's this clause is being lifted. So this law of grace, so to speak, divine grace, is now they're giving the okay to say, look, let's start moving in a little bit more closely now. And so the 11-11-11 date, all the way to 12-12-12, is a more of an opening where they're going to be sharing more UFO sightings. So I am seeing a very big increase. As a matter of fact, I predicted in my monthly column, my astrological column on my website, that at the end of November, starting on the solar eclipse, which is the 25th of November, so we got a day after Thanksgiving here in 2011, sometime between that and the full moon lunar eclipse on December the 10th of this year, there could be a very significant UFO sighting around the New York City area, and it looks like it's this. They're just showing me the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're going to be hovering around that area of the Statue of Liberty or whether it's just a symbol that New York City is being, you know, a target area for some major UFO activity. You know, maybe we might hear David Letterman start, you know, telling some jokes about UFOs just to calm people down a little bit.
Right.
Now, you know, what I've been saying is this is going to increase significantly, especially as we move into 2012, the first half of 2012, there will be much more sightings than we've seen in the past you know, years, even since Roswell incident.
Right.
And I'm also predicting, and I don't know if you've read my predictions for 2012 through 2013. I just put them up a few days back. That Barack Obama Okay. He really is meant to be a voice for this whole thing, okay, in a certain way. He is,
yeah.
He is a volunteer, you know, from the... He's almost stepped into the sixth dimension before he came back here to volunteer. So basically, he is going to be drilled with this, okay? When the sightings get to the point, by the end of the spring, I would say, the end of the spring of 2012 into the middle of the summer, at some point it's going to get... there's going to be so many sightings worldwide that leaders of the free world are going to have to answer the questions to people about, you know, what's going on here, you know?
Right.
We want to know. And that's when he steps up more in a role of seriousness, because he's been asked questions about this sort of thing, and, you know, he just jokes around and smiles. But this is going to be a very serious thing, because now this is the real start of the new age, because now all the attention that has been on the monetary system for all these years, with all the stress that it's given everybody, it starts to shift to this topic of, you know, what's in the skies, who are these races, what kind of technology do they have, and it literally just shifts the energy to the point where not as many people are drinking alcohol, not as many people are smoking cigarettes, not as many people are watching pornography. Not that I'm judging anybody and saying that these are all bad things. I'm just saying the attention shifts. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to judge anybody. And when it shifts, everybody's awareness starts to expand in a different area. And that's really what most of the people in the New Age movement and spirituality and people who are into yoga and following gurus from India or whatever, this is what we've all been waiting for. I mean, I've been meditating for 33 years, you know, every day. And we've all been waiting for a period where we're going from enslavement by the international banking families, is the bottom line, okay? Everybody's surviving. We're going from survival mode of needing to eat and clothe ourselves and pay our mortgages and our rents to a whole new paradigm shift of free education, free health care, you know, free auto insurance. In other words, we're going to a cashless system that is based on service to God. And so the great I Am presence, the impersonal aspect of God, that which is, you know, kind of an emptiness and fullness in itself, is manifesting everything. And then all the personalized aspects of God will be a part of that mission, so to speak, a part of that wave of trying to guide, educate, and bring the whole humanity into a new way of thinking and a way of living. And the main foundation to this, too, is the children. Basically, what we've done through the monetary systems is we have forgotten about family life. And unfortunately, those countries that are poor and struggling, certain areas of India, you got certain like Philippines, certain Latin American countries, you know, where there's hardly any money. So what do they have? What do they value? They value their family. So they have these, you know, big families, and the kids are struggling a bit because some of them, they don't even have enough work, you know, to feed their own kids. So we've seen that those who have less money tend to have closer family units. Those who have more money, the children get spoiled, or they just don't, they're too busy working for money, so the family unit gets split up, and there's not enough intimacy in the family unit. And that carries out into the world, you know, where it becomes non-intimate. And then technology has come in and magnified the whole, you know, situation with negativity. Now you can, you know, before you had to load the gun and, you know, pack the powder in and everything before you could shoot one person. Now you can shoot several people at a time, and we even have nuclear bombs. So that's part of just a little part of what I'm seeing. This is going to be a time of miracles, where we start finally getting back to the point of believing that, you know, that there is a lot of spiritual energy and power in all of us that we can create through our own thoughts and our own actions to help each other. God works its will through us, right? And God helps those who help themselves. So there's a certain level of responsibility upon all of us to try to do the best we can to serve our fellow human beings and try to remain at peace with our own thoughts and our own choices in life so that the energy and the vibration can stay up and allow this big change to happen. Are you still there, Mike?
Yes, indeed. I was quite...
thought I lost you for a second.
Well, lost for words almost, yes. You've nearly answered all of my questions in one go.
Oh, God.
Anyway, what I wanted to refer to, I was just thinking about that very briefly, is in your book, Former Messages from the Pleiadians,
yes.
You did mention that the space people would land after an open dialogue with government leaders, which you hoped would culminate in 2012. Now, is that still the projection for that? And indeed, when do you think that they may make that contact anyway? I mean, has it been brought forward at all?
Yes. And I think that there'll be little bits of this, and some of it will be prolonged in terms of sightings. In other words, the ships will be low enough we could see them. They'll hover for 10 minutes or so that there's video clips and there's enough evidence there. But what you're talking about is more of an open dialogue between the governments and these other intergalactic, races, interdimensional races. That I see happening sometime between 12/12/12 and the late spring of 2013. That's the time period that I'm looking at. And I'm also saying that there's been certain, apparitions of Mother Mary, okay, in certain areas, that I'm finding is going to be, it's almost like we make contact and the governments start to get fearful and there's some shooting going on. In other words, they're shooting at the ships at some point, but they're realizing that there's nothing they can do because the ships, the technology is so advanced that they can just dodge any kind of missile. It doesn't matter how fast it's going. In other words, they can just get out of the way and disappear, and then the missile misses them. And then there's this frustration amongst the governments of the world, the military, that, we tried for, 3 days to hit a target. We haven't hit one yet. We just spent $1 billion trying to do it. So that yes. that's the frustration that leads to, okay, look, why don't we all sit down at the same table and talk? Because obviously they've got something that we just don't have, And so that kind of brings them to the table. The other thing that I'm seeing is probably just before, I'm not quite sure about the timing on this, but it may be just before Mother Mary, Jesus Christ's mother, appears in a lot of different areas at the same time. That is the indication of her rolling out the carpet, so to speak, for her son to make that second coming. So the conservative Christians and Catholics are going to be just as surprised about all of this and the way that it's going to be presented, because they're just thinking Jesus Christ is coming back alone and he's going to wave a magic wand and save everybody. And actually, he's coming back with, millions of ships that are going to surround the whole planet. So he's like the CEO. And then with that dialogue, after she makes the appearances, I think that's when they finally connect. And there is a dialogue between almost all the government leaders, the main leaders, with interdimensional beings. It may be via technology at the beginning, but eventually it will be a landing. There will be once we become comfortable enough with the dialogue, and there is enough honesty going on, they'll be able to land some of the ships without it being fired at.
Right.
Because that's why they're not landing. That's why they don't show themselves that long, because they know they haven't wanted to disrupt, and add more fear to the situation. So now that this clause, the law of grace, is lifting this karmic situation that this boundary between us and them, that we can have an intergalactic confederation again of worlds where we're all connected and helping one another and cooperating with one another, that's going to be the lead up, so to speak, to to the 12-12-12 date, sometime between 12-12-12 and the end of the spring of 2013. And then you will see, they'll see a lot of sightings of Mother Mary, or almost around the same time, just as they're getting into the deepness of it, I think. Once they start shooting missiles and then they decide they can't do anything, then I think that's when there's sightings from her, and then Christ comes in with everybody and says it's time to be a family, and it's time to stop judging one another, and it's time to, you know, embrace the full grace of God instead of trying to chop it up into pieces and calling it your own and getting stuck in ideologies that only keep us apart and don't, you know, we don't love each other as a whole family. You know, we let somebody else start with that. You know,
I can see that the appearance of Mother Mary is perhaps necessary for people with religious beliefs to perhaps take a real look at their beliefs with a view to finding out where they need to change. And obviously the appearance of Jesus Christ in any form would certainly add to the emphasis on what is clearly going to be the real truth. So it's very good to hear that. I think you're the first person I've spoken to or read about that has actually mentioned those appearances. And when you think about it, it's quite logical, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think exactly what you just said, and it's making, you know, what you're saying is almost making me feel more comfortable with what I'm feeling and seeing, is that I think what you just said, I mean, I think she's coming to let everybody know, the Catholics and the Christians, that it's okay. You know, you can trust what's happening now. This is not, these are not negative, evil spaceship beings that are going to abduct you or you know, do bad things to you. Now, the Zeta Reticuli, I think we might have talked about in the past on radio shows, the Zeta Reticuli has been stopped to doing abductions on people. They may, a couple of them may still get away with it. You know, there's that small percentage maybe that squeezes through. But on the most part, that project has been stopped, where they're impregnating women and then bringing the babies back and all this kind of stuff. That is not a highly evolved race. And a lot of people think that that's what's, you know, they're going to, you know, that's the way the future, and that isn't. They definitely are violating people's spaces and boundaries in regards to their own, you know, need for self-empowerment. But I do feel that what you just said, that Mother Mary would be there to kind of try to relax the free world, that and say that this is this is all a part of the plan, you know,
right,
and not,
yes,
not to fear it.
Now, you've mentioned about the government leaders, and there are messages that indicate that the dark ones, who are not working with the light, will be removed. Now, would you see that as a necessity before, say, someone like Obama or any other leader that's working in the light can actually begin their own mission?
So in other words, what you're saying is, are there leaders of the dark side in political positions that could stop the lighter people, the leaders of light? Is that what?
Well, I'm seeing that if they were still in their places of power, they may be able to delay or interfere with the real messages and the action that should be coming from the light.
No, they won't have any chance. As a matter of fact, I've written in my predictions for 2012 and 2013 on my website that I started the predictions this, you know, last year. You know, I do my predictions in November for the following year. Okay, so in November of 2010, when I was predicting for 2011, I specifically said that there would be certain political leaders who are corrupt who would be taken out or overthrown out of position. Now, we've seen the leader of Egypt. We've seen the leader of Libya get killed. And we also saw Osama bin Laden get killed, if he did or not, who knows. I think he did. And other high terrorist leaders, okay, this year. But what I'm also seeing is that by the middle of 2012 to beginning of the fall, at some point, you could see the leader of North Korea suddenly disappear. Now, it's either going to be a health issue, or they have the technology to actually kind of beam them up in a certain way. Quantum physics probably would be able to explain that better, a quantum physicist. But they do have the ability to send a laser beam down and just take these people out of there. And their followers don't even know where they went. You know, they're looking around going, you know, where is he? You know? And so, again, this is the hand of God getting involved in this whole thing at a point where this separation between the law of karma that says you cannot interfere with free will has been lifted. They have the ability to use certain technologies to take people out who are, you know, very corrupt and using other people. They're using. Look at Argentina. Argentina, I think, has a 40% unemployment rate. All right. When the girls go for a job interview, 50% of them aren't coming back home to their parents because they're getting caught up in being owned and getting bought out in sex traffic things and all that. Because they don't have any money, they're taking advantage of people who don't have any money, and some of the mothers who sell their beautiful daughters off to, you know, pay for sex and get it that way, get money that way. You know, that's going on. Then you got the drug dealings going on, you know, whether it's in Mexico or Afghanistan or Africa or different areas. All of these types of things that people do that can corrupt consciousness and lower the vibrational frequency, those things are going to be dissipating, and they will be watched over the next, I would say, next 12 months to 24 months. But it looks like it's going to happen sometime by the end of the spring of 2012. Things are really going to start heating up, okay? And I'm also predicting that Hillary Clinton is going to be the vice president. He's gonna bring her in because Obama is going to have a tough first 6 months of 2012 with his campaign. He realizes at some point that, you know, he could lose the election. He could. He's not. I don't think he's going to. I think it's going to turn around in the summer of 2012. It's all of a sudden, all the negativity that he went through the first 6 months is going to start turning himself around. I think he will. I think he's supposed to be the winner. But he realizes that he's lost a lot of his base that he had before. You know, the younger kids, the African American community, half of them don't want to vote for him anymore. So what he's trying to do is take the Hillary Clinton audience that he threw under the bus at the beginning of the caucuses when he was running with Hillary Clinton and bring them back in. So that fills in the hole of the people that have lost confidence in him. It also takes the male and female polarity and balances out. See, we haven't had any female leaders in vice president or president. All the females have been secretary of states. You know, all the, whether it's Condoleezza Rice or there was a few other ones, but they've all been kept away from taking vice president or president. You know what I'm saying? It's always been males that have been in that area. So this is going to like balance the polarity out. But it's certainly going to get interesting around the campaign because a lot of the questions are going to be about UFOs. And that's a whole different area, you know, than just talking about general things on this planet like economics, healthcare, just all the things that people get concerned about on investing in Wall Street, 401ks, you know, pension plans. People are so caught up in physical security. This is coming from a whole different area. So I'm going on a limb here, I guess. This is probably the furthest I've gone on a limb on a radio show or anywhere where I'm really, you know, I've been kind of quiet, you know, for 33 years in a sense. I mean, people, you know.
Lou, you've mentioned Hillary Clinton there. My impression is that both Hillary and Bill Clinton have got rather a shady record between them. You're not saying that she has changed, are you, and suddenly turned to the light?
Well, I'm just saying that I think that she will be one of the people that will be used to help usher in the new age. Everybody's going to have to make an adjustment. I don't care if you're president or if you're somebody who's collecting garbage in the morning for people. You're a garbage man. I mean, everybody's going to have to make the shift. And the other thing that I'm feeling, you know, is that there's two political leaders that are very important in America that will pass over this year. And I don't want to say it's going to be, but I'm just saying it's a possibility that it could be Bill Clinton. It's also, I definitely feel, and this isn't, some kind of great psychic prediction at all, but Vice President Cheney is definitely not looking well, and I don't feel like he's going to make it by the end of 2012. But Bill Clinton is, that he may play a part. It may not be his death. Maybe it's some other thing, but there is some significant role that he could play, you know, by being married to him. And he's like a world traveler, and he's kind of seen a lot of cultures that we don't, Americans, we're so caught up in paying our bills and money, we don't really get a chance to get educated about other countries, you know? Mm. We don't know what it's like to be in the Philippines holding your belly and wondering what kind of job can I get so that I can eat, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't know. We have McDonald's right down the street or something. Even if you're the worst off in America, you could collect some empty Coke cans or something and get a meal. There's some places that are really struggling. And so so that was a couple of the things that I saw that might be a big influence also. But it really looks like the end of the spring of 2012, things are really starting to cook up. The kettle is starting to boil.
I think they're getting pretty hot at the moment, particularly in Europe. But I just wanted to go back to what you obviously refer to that I would call disclosure. Would you not feel that acknowledgement of the presence of ETs and perhaps the fact that they have visited the Earth, even spoken with various leaders, is necessary before anything else is opened up in that connection?
Well, most people have already heard that, and they don't open up to it because it's still kind of, you know, hidden behind the closet, in the closet somewhere. I mean, even though they've had visitations, who's going to believe it? You got authors who've written so many books, whether it's Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper or Project World Evacuation by Sister Tuella, and then you have Sheldon Neidl's written a few books, and there's so many authors that have actually gotten on ships and meditated with the extraterrestrials and everything. And they still have very little power when it comes to trying to confront the government leaders with their experiences. And so I think it's going to have to take a very physical experience for most human beings to see, once the majority is aware that something is happening here, that's when the government has to let go of the, you know, America is one of the most conservative countries about this whole thing. There are other countries like Mexico and I think parts of Europe. I think the British, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it's in London or where they did release UFO files for the public.
Yes.
President Obama is going to have to do that, you know, whether he likes it or not. And they have to, they need to show us the autopsies of the extraterrestrials that they took in from the Roswell incident.
Yes.
You know, so we know what we're looking at. And so I think that'll happen. I really do. But I don't think it's going to happen until there's some solid sightings that are significant and that a lot of people are seeing. You know, a lot of people
Well, they certainly, over the last months, particularly in an area like Mexico, have gradually grown in numbers. The sightings have been 50, 100, or maybe 200 craft going over during the daytime.
Beautiful.
So it seems that they are putting the pressure on a little bit.
Beautiful, yeah. And I think there was a lot of sightings this year. There was one in a lot in Australia, from what I understand. And then there was one in London, I think, over I forget the name of the bridge. It's a popular bridge. Tower Bridge or something like that. Is that in London?
Yes. I think it was London Bridge, actually. But
yeah.
You're correct.
And the video clips were so beautiful. I mean, you have these discs that were hovering and going out of the, in front of the cloud, then we go back behind the cloud again, and you know, it's just amazing. And then I think Colorado Springs, there was a sighting, and there was some other area I forget, but they are showing up. You're correct. They're showing up in more percentages. Recordings are much higher by those organizations that are keeping track of extraterrestrial spacecraft that are being sighted. So the numbers are increasing. Over the last couple of years, I think it's really increased a lot. That will triple, though. That will triple now. You're going to see a lot more.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now, I must go back to your earlier book again, because what I did when I read it prior to our chat about it, I made notes of what I thought were just sort of the key points of the book. Now, in that, you mentioned about the financial markets and how the meltdown will continue, that they wouldn't survive. Now, what's your latest prophecy about them?
Well, it looks like that's really happening. First of all, I'd like to, before I answer that question, I'd like to say the Nostradamus prophecy of nuclear, you know, explosions is very wrong, and that people shouldn't be feeding into that, that there's enough positive beings on the planet too that are being protected. And that isn't going to happen. So just to let everybody know, it's not going to be a doomsday coming up and then, you know, we're going to have a nuclear explosion. And to answer the question about the financial markets, it's almost as if, and everybody's feeling this everywhere, even in America, that there is, the bottom is falling out. And when it really falls, it creates a space for something new to come into, all right? And that's the point where things really start manifesting with the UFOs, I think, and everything. It's almost like a dual relationship. It's like when the control gets lost from the financial system, then this new age energy comes in with UFOs and higher technology and new ways of looking at life and living. It's the international banking families that are holding up the whole thing. They always have. And they know they're doing that. I mean, when you have a young African-American, when you have a young person in Africa who's in the diamond fields, who is digging up in the dirt for diamonds or siphoning for diamonds and giving it to people who are making billions of dollars, and yet they don't even provide running good drinking water for these people who are working in these fields, that gives you an idea of how enslaved some people are. I mean, Americans are enslaved. They're just basically what they do is they get a little bit of fun and freedom, and they think that's freedom. But there's still bills to pay. I don't care if you're the president or some famous book writer, you know, or whatever. You still have to take care of your family. You still have bills. You still have to pay big taxes. So I think once the international banking system starts to really fall apart, and it already is doing that. I mean, Greece, the government of Greece has already announced that, you know, it's defaulting on many things and they might not have any money left for their people at all, you know. And then Spain is in trouble. And then, you know, the Brits have some karma that is on the way for them because British rule went into India and took over India for, 250 years, and they enslaved the blacks and brought them over here to America, and then you know, they wiped out the American Indians. So there's a lot of karma there. And I have a lot of friends in, those areas that I love very much, and I'm not saying this that somebody should be punished, but they're, you know, the royalty over there, I mean, they know how to throw a good wedding, but they need to start living up to, some of the gemstones that the queen puts in her hat that she stole from India, you know. you can't just do that to human beings. There's a certain laws that you have to respect. But, for that matter, I think the financial system is falling apart and will continue to do that until I think probably by the end of the spring of 2012, it's going to be obvious to everybody that we need to take a new direction in the way that we look at economics.
Right. Now, you mentioned, I believe, about a coming time when we would have no further need for money. How far ahead do you think that is?
Well, that comes right after the initial contact. It's the initial contact, and then those programs of education on how to create new economics, how to look at new scientific technologies, and new healthcare opportunities to heal, heal all kinds of diseases that we couldn't heal before. That's when it kind of rushes in, I think. I don't think it's going to come before that.
Mm.
I really don't. I think we're going to have to get educated by other leaders in the universe who are already living that kind of life, who can be a model for us to look at and say, wow, look at how well they take care of their children and bring them up.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
What do you see as being major changes, say, in medicine or anything associated with the healing of people's injuries or illnesses or whatever?
Yes, definitely. I mean, after the contact and the technologies they have,
yes.
as I've written in my book, and you already know this, you're just asking, but there are certain, we're showing me, is there certain ways they can shoot a laser light, okay? And it's light combined with a sound, and they have different sound for each organ. So when that organ, let's say your liver, is not functioning properly or it's got toxins in it and all that kind of stuff, they can actually shoot a laser light into that organ with a specific tone or mantra and then spin it at certain megahertz that is much, we don't have it here. I mean, they know how to do that. And it just completely brings that organ back to its normal life and function. And so it can happen within minutes. You know, they can literally, you know, change certain organs that don't need. You see, what we do is we take things out of us. Mm-hmm. You know, we do surgery. So then we replace it or we take it out. What they do is they, when their surgery, they go in without cutting anything with its very light laser, and they change the vibrational frequency of the organ so it re-enlivens it. It almost brings it back to life, you know. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to take an organ out. They don't have that many organs, by the way. The Palladians have very, very few organs. We have so much. They said because the body is so refined that they don't need all of these, you know, that, you know, the food goes into the stomach, then the food has to get digested, then it's got to pass through the kidneys and through the liver, and then it goes this way. They don't have all that kind of stuff. So their body is very light, and it's not, you know, bombarded by so many organs.
Right. Now, you mentioned sound in connection with healing, and I remember that in your book you also spoke about the power of music, and I remember you said the sitar sound is very powerful. Do you think that we will, before that time, start to develop more in that area? Because I know there are people now that heal with frequency of sound, and it reminds me that a long time ago, I think it was a guy called Rife who experimented with the frequencies, and quite by chance he found one that could treat every illness of the body.
Yeah, that definitely is, and I think a lot of these people, like you were just mentioning, these individuals who have experimented with it, Stephen Halpern is a really big name, you know, he really started off the they're volunteers from a higher level, and either the fifth dimension, the sixth, you know, and we have a lot more volunteers from the fifth than we do the sixth, but they're just in touch with this higher angelic realm of life, and they're able to channel that through. And yes, so I would say, you know, it can heal things, and, you know, it's noted even in history that there are certain ancient cultures like China and India where if there was any violence going on in the environment, they would go to the leaders, to the musicians, and they would say, are your instruments tuned all right? Because, you know, we have, in other words, they counted on the musicians to play music and emit sounds that would dissipate any kind of negative vibrations in the consciousness of their culture. So, yeah, and I think that's going to become, and there are people like Stephen Halpern and other, you know, artists who've done some absolutely beautiful, you know, stuff with sound and music to help heal different health issues. One of the things that I recently was, before I forget this, I've been shown recently, one of them was a Statue of Liberty, okay, that was UFO sightings. The other thing was this rich soil that they're showing me, which is like a very dark brown, and it has these, I don't know what, it's not mica. It may be bits of diamonds or something, but it sparkles in it. They said that a lot of the soil on this planet has been depleted over the ages with some of the floodings that have happened, like Noah's Ark and, you know, these different times when we had great floodings, and has drained a lot of the mineral disposition of the soil. So they're saying that they have tons of this stuff from another planet, and they're going to put it back into the earth. In other words, they're going to take some of the soil out, off of here, and then put this new soil in. And they said that when you eat food that's been grown in this soil, you will feel so energetic, which is what we're supposed to feel after we have really good, high-quality food. We're supposed to feel more energy, you know. And that's what they said. They said it's going to be very, very rich in them, especially minerals. Calcium is becoming the answer for all types of cancer and tumors. Calcium shrinks tumors, and it alkalines the body fluids. There's 500 things that calcium does biologically, but there's two main things that are very important. It wipes out acid in your body fluids, so it makes it more alkaline, and it turns your DNA on. DNA cannot replicate unless it's in a cloud of calcium, but to get high-quality calcium, absorbable calcium, is very difficult. So that was one of the things that they were showing me. You know, they got tons of this stuff. They get it from other planets, you know, and they just bring it here. And that's no different, really, than when you think about, you know, as above, so below. I forget what the as below, so above. You know, when you have, let's say here on this planet, you got an area that's the soil's depleted or is bad, then there's another state, maybe Idaho has better potatoes because it has better soil. You could take trucks, go there and fill them up, and then, you know, bring them back to the other area and bring better soil. Some of the beaches here, actually, in Connecticut, have soil from sand from Florida. So there's no difference. It's just that they're coming from different planets that we've never been aware of. And this is one of the big things that's going to happen when we finally make this contact. We'll have the availability of other materials, other minerals, nutrients, gemstones from other planets that we don't have here. There's certain things that they have, like, for instance, in the Roswell incident, those ships were made out of, you know, they were like tin foil, remember? They put them in their hand and they crunch them up in a ball and then they release it and it would just flatten out. You know, there's certain materials and other planets that we don't have here that would be very beneficial, that could benefit us a great deal.
Right. Now, between 2012 and 2026 was a period when you mentioned there would be a huge difference in how Earthlings relate. Can you explain that in some detail?
Well, what I'd say was that from 2013, the beginning, first day of 2013, all the way till 2026, I call it the preparation phase, whereas the first phase from 1995, I think, was for till now, was the purification phase. So you had more, you know, getting rid of karma and floodings and natural disasters and earthquakes and tsunamis and typhoons, this sort of thing. But in the next phase, it's more of an education of how to raise vibration, different ways of looking at life, whether it's healthcare, politics, religion, etc. And so it's more of an education. And then when you get beyond 2026, I call it the celebration phase. I forget how many years. I think I put 14 years on that. So that's almost like that's the maturity of in the new age. It's almost like we're here. You know, finally, we've been reeducated. We, you know, and most of the negativity is just gone. I mean, we aren't going to have to look at any more news programs on TV, you know, watch the news and hear about how many people are killing each other, all right? Or who raped right. each other, or who stole somebody's child and kidnapped them and killed them, you know? That stuff is going to be of the past. And so the prayer, you know, Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we become it's not like we're completely problem-free, because souls have to have free will in order to grow, and they have to learn their own lessons, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of the negative karma that has been wrapped around this planet is going to be extinguished, and we're going to go into a different... And then anybody, you know, I've said in my book, you know, not everybody's going to make it, you know. You're going to have maybe 40% that won't make it, and 60% that will make it, and then maybe another 10% that gets rehabilitated and brought back. So probably about 20% are going to be in a new three-dimensional planet and start and continue their journey there, because they just don't want to change. You know, they're just... they're not ready, and that's okay. There's no judgment on that. It's not like they're lower or higher, because, you know, we started off on this planet, and, well, that's how we started off. You know, certain souls started here at a level of we don't want to change kind of thing. And, of course, right. if you don't encourage change in your life, you don't grow.
Mm. You mentioned rehabilitation there, Lou, and, again, I'm always referring to your book. In that, it mentioned that 40% of humanity would be rehabilitated on the ships.
Well,
what do you think that means? Yes.
Well, 40% will be taken off the planet, but only 10% of the 40% will be rehabilitated. In other words, they'll be able to heal them or help them, maybe get some of the strands of the DNA back in order and that sort of. They're kind of be able to be fixed. But then there's the other 30%. I'm sorry, I think I said 20% before, but it's about 30% that will not be able to be, you know, make it, and that's okay. You know, that they'll continue their journey the way that they choose during their free will. I mean, some people will say, well, is this like being manipulated? They're coming here and telling us how we can live, how we can't live. No, that's not the problem right now. They haven't done that for the last 26,000 years. The problem now is if we continue to have certain people on this planet, we could lose everybody here. You know, it's a part of the evolutionary process. We don't have a choice. You know, my wife died of cancer. I didn't have a choice in that. She wanted to do that, you know? And so you accept that and you let it go. But, you know, there's certain things that we cannot, there's certain things that we have to accept. And we can't, you know, wonder if we're being overpowered or is somebody else making a choice for me. You know, you have the choice. You know, there's too many people that have been suffering on this planet for too long. We got one child being kidnapped in Mexico every 60 minutes. 70% of them don't survive.
Mm-hmm.
We can't continue that kind of thing. So those people who want to create that kind of life, enslave people with drugs and sex and everything else, they're going to have to get taken off if they don't want to change. And that's fine if they want to continue to have an orgy party every day somewhere. You know, we're not judging anybody. But the Earth has a certain evolutionary timing in the universe. And the galactic center is what the Mayans are talking about. You know, the Mayans, I think it was, right? At the end of 2012, we're moving through this galactic center. And that's going to be till the year 2016. So if we don't see the major changes happening, it's going to happen sometime between now and 2016. But they would like it to happen as soon as possible. That would be safe, at least somewhat safe for everybody. You know, I mean, sometimes you lose 10,000 people in Japan from a tsunami, and it's devastating for everybody. But, you know, we don't want to lose 7 billion.
No, indeed.
You know?
Now, Lou, we've got a few minutes left, and gee, how time has flown talking to you. But there was one item I wanted to speak to you about. You said at some stage that no one will own a home. Does that mean that they will be supplied, if that is the right word, or built freely for people?
Well, you know, we obviously have at least enough homes right now. We don't need, but they are going to be, obviously, they'll be, like I was saying, they're going to bring new materials from other planets, so you'll have homes that will be, you know, built with other materials and will be more energy efficient and that sort of thing. And some of them will, I mean, the solar energy panels that we have, they have stuff that could suck up energy from the sun that can last for quite a long time, you know. And so, but what I was mentioning in the book is in relationship to our energy being stuck here on this planet, that energy needs to circulate. So their new model of real estate is that, I think they were saying that like every 7 years or so, we would be moving into a different home. So in one lifetime here, you would be living in a home maybe on the ocean, and then sometimes living in the suburbs, and then sometimes living in a country area. In other words, you would have experienced all different types of homes, large, small, etc. Now, what this does, not only does it circulate all the energy, okay, but it allows people to not get attached to ownership of the physical, because that's what gets us into problems the most. When we say, I own this, and I pay taxes. I told my brother's a typical Capricorn, you know, very practical, down to earth. He's worked for Amtrak for 31 years. So I said to him, you know, we're going to have rotating real estate in the future. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, the extraterrestrials, when they come, what they're going to do is teach us how to rotate. He goes, if they come on my property, I'm going to shoot them with a shotgun. Okay? And so I looked at him and I said, yeah, you know, Anthony's his name. I says, it isn't going to work that way. I says, you're not going to need a gun or it's all owned by the intelligence of the universe, everything. And when we get to the point of, we don't realize, men especially, don't realize how much stress and pressure they put on themselves and how much violence they create with other people. When they say, I own this, and boy, you better not step on my property or I'm going to da 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 da. Right? I mean, look at Israel and Iran, or the Middle East. I mean, there's areas where there's been fighting that's been going on forever for land, the Palestinians and the people of Israel. So we have to get out of this idea of, we have to get more into the idea of sharing and cooperating rather than owning and competing. That's the difference. That's the difference that the extraterrestrials have, who are 3,000 or more years ahead of us technologically.
Right, Lou, I'm going to have to stop you there, because I want to give you a minute or so to give our listeners your website and just mention whether your book is still available and where from.
Yeah, my website is www.yogavisionaries.com, and if you put my name in, like Lou Valentino, and you Google on it, you'll come to Astrological Varieties, and that's the same website. I have an ebook; it's a 70-page ebook. I don't do print out the book anymore because it got too expensive for me. But the ebook is available; it's only $10, and it just, you know, I send it off to you, and you open it up, and it's all there, at least some of it.
That's excellent. Yes.
Any
short message that you would like to give before I announce next week's guest?
I don't know. I guess, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me on your show. I really appreciate it. You're such a great person to do radio show with, and just to let people know not to panic and fear and all that, but share as much love and light as you can on a daily basis, which a lot of people are still doing with their families, and look forward to a wonderful time, and maybe the affirmation is, I let go of the old and get into the wonderful. Yeah, I let go of the old and embrace all the wonderful new that the universe has for me. That's
great.
The affirmation.
I love having you on my program, Lou, because I hardly have to do any talking.
Sorry about that, buddy.
No, it's great. I love it. You're full of information, and it's been terrifically interesting. Thank you very much, Lou.
All right. God bless you.
And you too.
Namaste.
Right, friends, as usual, Lou is a very interesting character, and he's got a lot to tell us about the future. Next week, I'm going to have a person called Lamont Wood, who's an author. He's recently brought out a book called Out of Place in Time and Space, and it's about the various artifacts, inventions, paintings, etc., that seem out of place in these modern times, because they have items connected with them that you wouldn't expect to see, such as spacecraft and so forth. So, thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you very much.
God bless.